Reading this morning from Canto 3, Chapter 9. And I think we'll be reading text 26. Well, we'll see how far we get, maybe 20 through 31. The section that we just completed was Lord Brahma's prayers. And the section that follows is Maitreya making a little, two summary statements. And then the personality of Godhead replies to Lord Brahma. The sage Maitreya said, O Vidura, after observing the source of his appearance, namely the personality of Godhead, Brahma prayed for his mercy as far as his mind and words would permit him. Having thus prayed, he became silent, as if tired from his activities of penance, knowledge, and mental concentration. Doesn't say he was tired, because spiritual activities give one enlivenment. He's not, after seeing the personality of God and offering prayers, he's not going to go to sleep. But the external activity closed down. He's very internally absorbed. Here's Srila Prabhupada's purport. Brahma's enlightenment and knowledge was due to the Lord sitting within his heart. After being created, Brahma could not ascertain the source of his appearance. But after penance and mental concentration, he could see the source of his birth, and thus he became enlightened through his heart. The spiritual master outside and the spiritual master within are both representations of the Lord. Unless one has contact with such bona fide representations, one cannot claim to be a spiritual master. Lord Brahma had no opportunity to take help of a spiritual master from outside, because at that time Brahma himself was the only creature in the universe. There's a good excuse. For the rest of us, no good. Therefore, on becoming satisfied by the prayers of Brahma, the Lord enlightened him about everything from within. However qualified and intelligent and capable one might be, like here, Lord Brahma, what to speak of ourselves, there is necessity for enlightenment or receiving knowledge from some source. There are those that don't want to do that. They're also dependent upon the same Supreme Lord that the devotee is dependent upon. Sarvashyacham riti sannivishto matak smritir gyanam apohanam cha. Whatever capacity is coming from the same. So one is acknowledging that reality and feeling oneself happy and dependent, not unhappy and dependent, happy and dependent upon the Supreme Lord. And there are those that are rebellious, and dependence is something they don't want to acknowledge. But our original preceptor, Lord Brahma, is showing us the way. Then Maitreya continues speaking to Vidura. The Lord saw that Brahma was very anxious about the planning and construction of the different planetary systems and was depressed. Wow. Brahma was depressed. Not like we get depressed, but depressed upon seeing the devastating water. He could understand the intention of Brahma, and thus he spoke in deep, thoughtful words, removing all the illusion that had arisen. Purport. The devastating water was so fearful that even Brahma was perturbed. Perturbed is better than depressed. Vishana, V-I-S-A-N-N-A, depressed, perturbed. The devastating water was so fearful that even Brahma was perturbed at its appearance and became very anxious about how to situate the different planetary systems in outer space to accommodate the different kinds of living entities, such as the human beings, the lower than the human beings, and the superhuman beings, I mean, above. All the planets in the universe are situated according to the different grades of the living entities under the influence of the modes of material nature. There are three modes of material nature. And when they are mixed with one another, they become nine. When the nine are mixed, they become 81. And when the 81 also become mixed, he always stops at that. He goes like, and the 81 also become mixed, and thus we ultimately do not know how the delusion increases and increases. Lord Brahma had to accommodate different places and situations for the requisite bodies of the conditioned souls. The task was meant only for Brahma, and no one in the universe can even understand how difficult it was. By the grace of the Lord, Brahma was able to execute the tremendous task so perfectly that everyone is amazed to see the workmanship of the Vidhata, the regulator. Our devotees, there's a team of devotees that are get commissioned or given the service to do the same thing with the temple of Vedic Planetarium. And there's like six divisions of different teams with captains of those teams and populated with PhDs, each of them. And then those six have an overall coordinating team and you know, the different, how the Temple of Vedic Planetarium is going to be set up. And they have the advantage of referencing whatever's out there. All the scriptures, interviewing various scholars, and great Vaishnava personalities in both Madhva and Ramanuja line who are present today, and you know they've got their opinion. Their whole life has been invested in this one topic, and drawing upon the predecessor acharyas in their line and what they said and what they wrote, and here's Brahma. One person without all those resources, without a team of people, he's just dependent. He knows he has an idea of what he's supposed to do, because it's been said twice here. One is where the planets go. I mean, just like imagine, you just have, you have a bunch of space, and you're supposed to put planets in that space, and there's no map. But yeah, and it has to be precisely right. And then different bodies to inhabit those different planets. Precisely right. Precisely right. No one in the universe can even understand how difficult it was. So that's, the Lord has understood Brahma's heart, his intention, and the perturbed state that he's in. So the perturbance is not being at all confident, although he's done it several times previously, that he can recreate all the where the planets are to be. And he's perturbed about the water of devastation. Because previously it was described that the waves in that water of devastation were huge. And Maitreya is remarking that the Lord was in his yoga nidra, sleeping. Waves, huge, and he was sleeping. We couldn't sleep in that circumstance, but he can. So he was perturbed by the waves and perturbed by, how am I going to do this Mission Impossible? So then the Lord spoke. O Brahma, O depth of Vedic wisdom, be neither depressed, that's the same word, tandrim, dejected. Be neither depressed nor anxious about the execution of creation. What you are begging from me has already been granted before. So that presumes it's going to be granted again, and it's like, we've been through this before, Brahma, come on. Any purport, any person authorized by either the Lord or by his bona fide representative is already blessed, as is the work entrusted to him. Of course, the person entrusted with such a responsibility should always be aware of his incapability and must always look for the mercy of the Lord for the successful execution of his duty. One should not be puffed up because he is entrusted with certain executive work. Fortunate is he who is so entrusted, and if he is always fixed in the sense of being subordinate to the will of the Supreme, he is sure to come out successful in the discharge of his work. Arjuna was entrusted with the work of fighting on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and before he was so entrusted, the Lord had already arranged for his victory. But Arjuna was always conscious of his position as subordinate to the Lord, and thus he accepted him as the supreme guide in his responsibility. Anyone who takes pride in doing responsible work but does not give credit to the supreme Lord is certainly falsely proud and cannot execute anything nicely. Brahma and persons in the line of his disciplic succession, that's us, who follow in his footsteps, this should be us, are always successful in the discharge of loving transcendental service to the Supreme Lord. So, that this has already been granted before, at least the implication within the purport, it's compared to Arjuna before he begins the battlefield fighting, it was already determined the outcome, that in that sense. So before he undertakes, there's his service of creating, there's empowerment. So if there's empowerment, why is he feeling the absence of empowerment? And part of the empowerment is to know what to do, and then another part of the empowerment is to have the strength to do it. So he's a little concerned in both departments. Like, where do all these planets go? And will I have the strength to execute it properly? Just like we could know what we have to do. Get up in the morning and perform our, you know, chant defenselessly the Hare Krishna mantra. We know what we have to do. We may be not so certain we have the capacity to do. Prabhupada has taught this, you've probably heard this before. If Krishna or the spiritual master gives some instruction, within the instruction is the capacity to carry out the instruction. You heard that before? Like, here's one from Krishna. Control the mind. From wherever, whatever and wherever the mind wanders due to its flickering and utter unsteady nature, bring the mind back under the control of the self. Control the mind and senses. So the potency to carry out the instruction is within the instruction. And a faithful person realizes that. They realize that because they carry out the instruction faithfully and the potencies are released. It's like, it's very similar to within the Srimad Bhagavatam, there are enormous potencies, or within the holy name, there's Nijasarva Shaktis. Each holy name is invested with all of Krishna's transcendental potencies. So one can realize statements or truths of devotional service. We can realize the nature of Krishna through the medium of devotional service, because there's enormous potencies invested. And if we take that up faithfully, then those potencies and the qualities and the pastimes, the activities and the position of the personality of God become realized. And our position as the servant can be fully realized. Not like just something theoretical. This is a little bit Nandan's question yesterday about theoretical and experiential. One more verse. O Brahma, situate yourself in penance and meditation. He's already done that. And follow the principles of knowledge to receive my favor. By these actions, you will be able to understand everything from within your heart. And we've heard that there are these two representations of the Supreme Lord, within and without. And therefore, Brahma, there isn't anything without except the Lord, so from within. And that same Lord before him is expanded within his heart as well. So, like, 50-50, or whether it's the Lord said it, expressed it to him at that moment, or it's going to come from the static form of the Lord that's within his heart. It's the same. And read very carefully the statements from Chaitanya Charitamrita, where the position of the spiritual master is explained in the first chapter, and the position of the spiritual master is the same as the Lord. The spiritual master is a direct manifestation of the Supreme Lord. So whether it's the spiritual master speaking or the Lord in the heart speaking, the speaking is the same. And same idea that Prabhupada expressed, when Krishna speaks Bhagavad Gita and the spiritual master says, Krishna says, the speaking is the same. Non-different. Different, but non-different. Being a direct manifestation of the Supreme Lord, spiritual master is to be taken in that way. And by the continued execution of devotional service, here it's specifically penance and meditation, that will qualify. And, one other item. Follow the principles of knowledge received. And then Krishna's favor is within that. So, control of the mind and senses, meditation and penance, and apply that which one receives, the knowledge that one is imparted, whether it's through Bhagavad Gita or from within the heart. You stay steadfast in carrying that out with the controlled mind and controlled senses, guided by that intelligence, the instructions of Krishna, or the instructions of the spiritual master that are that representing the instructions of Krishna. There's the formula for receiving Krishna's favor. Nice, huh? One example of the universal availability of Krishna's mercy is the example of the sun. The sun shines everywhere, except in Detroit. The sun shines everywhere, but if the shine is blocked by some object, then you don't see the sun shine. But the sun is shining everywhere. It's not like, I'll shine over here and the clouds or some object may be impeding the light of the sun. But the sun is not limiting his rays from going anywhere. Freely bestowing his rays. So Krishna's mercy is freely being distributed, available to everyone. So what's needed is on our side to be receptive to that. We can offer prayers or call out to the Lord to be merciful. Then there's something that we need to do on our side to be eligible, or have our receivers on, mercy receivers. These three things: control of the mind and senses, or stating penance and meditation, and application of that which we understand. Following the principles of knowledge. By these actions, you will be able to understand everything from within your heart. That's a big statement. You can maybe understand some things, but to understand everything. And what does everything refer to? It's everything. Because as mentioned and also stated in this purport, Brahma has to create the whole universe. So that's everything. Very challenging mission. The mercy the Lord bestows upon a particular person engaged in executing the responsible work entrusted unto him is beyond imagination. But his mercy is received due to our penance and perseverance in executing devotional service. I'm going to spend a little time with that word, persevering. In executing devotional service. So despite obstacles, we all encounter obstacles. Despite our own shortcomings, we all have our shortcomings. Despite distractions, despite anything, how much time it takes, meaning I'm continued to practice devotional service, and like the question yesterday of how do we sustain enthusiasm for chanting? Sustained enthusiasm. Dridhavrata, great determination. Persevering in devotional service. It's necessary to be successful. Like the steady execution of regulations in sadhana bhakti. Abhyasa. Constant practice. So, his mercy is received due to our penance and perseverance in executing devotional service. Saying the same thing in different language, maybe from the other end, from Krishna's end, besides what we do, what Krishna, Prabhupada described this in one lecture in Nectar Devotion. Krishna wants to see how determined we are, how sincere we are. Of course he knows, but he wants to examine. So we're calling, Krishna, please engage me in your devotional service. And Krishna considers, are you sure? How about a little sense gratification instead, hmm? Here's a little sense gratification. Let's see what you do with that little sense gratification. And the devotee, no Prabhupada saying, devotee says, no, I want only Krishna. Well, you don't want sense gratification. What about an obstacle? Here's an obstacle. Are you sure you want me? And the devotee says, I want Krishna. Somehow this obstacle has to be surpassed. I'm determined I want Krishna. And for some time that goes on, and then Krishna sees, oh, they're very determined. All right, I am like this. That was a little bit like Narada testing Dhruva. Are you sure? He was sure. He didn't exactly know what it meant to find Lord Vishnu, but he was sure that's what he wanted. So even like the sincerity is what's critical. In the course of connecting that sincerity to the goal, being clear what the goal is also necessary. But that can come just from the inquisitiveness of the individual in course of time, hearing clearly the goal. Like when we began devotional service, I would take a reasonable guess and say that Krishna in his original form as he enjoys pastimes in Goloka, in the spiritual world, distinct from the Narayana in Vaikuntha, where he's worshipped in awe and reverence, and all of those details of who it is that we're wishing to worship and the kind of love that we're anticipating developing, that wasn't clear. And in course of time, it will become more clear. But because some representative in Lord Chaitanya's line was who we contacted by their mercy, and from our side, some sincerity to understand and receive that mercy, we've progressed. So from our side, that sincerity, and then Krishna sends. Krishna's mercy is available. We just have to qualify ourselves. Brahma was entrusted with the work of creating the planetary systems. The Lord instructed him that when he meditated, he would very easily know where and how the planetary systems must be arranged. I mean, can you imagine? It's, I don't know, what to even compare it to. Wake up in the morning, there's no light. You know you're supposed to do something, but exactly what that something is and how it's to be done, because there's nothing. You can't let go, you know, pick up the telephone and call somebody and say, you know where I'm supposed to go today, and how do I get there? There's no one to talk to. There's no phone, there's no, like, you know, there's nothing. No house. Just darkness. So, it takes a lot of qualification, a lot of trust, a lot of intelligence. Just do penance and austerity and you'll know. How would we feel if that was like the answer that we got? Just do penance and meditation and it'll feel very clear what you're supposed to do. A little more help, please. I don't mind the penance and austerity, but the directions were to come from within and there was no necessity for anxiety in the task. Such instructions of Bodhi Yoga are directly imparted by the Lord from within, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 10:10. So here, I'll just read one more verse, 31. O Brahma, when you are absorbed in devotional service, in the course of your creative activities, you will see me in you and throughout the universe, and you will see that you yourself, the universe, and the living entities are all in me. Huh. You will see me in you, and you'll see everything is in me. You'll see the Supreme Lord within yourself, and throughout the universe, and you'll see that yourself, the universe, and living entities are all in me. Everything is in Krishna, and Krishna is in everything. I mean, it's like, you know, you will find that you're in the house and outside the house. We can be inside the house, we can be outside the house, but how can we be inside the house and outside the house, or have the house inside you? That's the ninth chapter Bhagavad Gita stated here in the Bhagavatam. It is cited herein by the Lord that during the daytime Brahma would see him as Lord Sri Krishna. He would appreciate how the Lord expanded himself into all the calves during his childhood at Vrindavan. He would know how Yasodhamayi saw all the universes and planetary systems within the mouth of Krishna during his playful childhood pastimes. And he would also see that there are millions of Brahmas during the appearance of Lord Krishna in Brahma's daytime. But all these manifestations of the Lord appear everywhere in his eternal transcendental forms that cannot be understood by anyone but the pure devotees who are always engaged in devotional service to the Lord and are fully absorbed in the Lord. The high qualifications of Brahma are also indicated herein. So it started sounding pretty straightforward, and then it got complicated. Like, just do your devotional service and the understanding will come to you. Your devotional service is with controlled mind and senses and depending upon the Lord, and the understanding will come to you. But now it's how you will see the Lord while you're doing that devotional service. You'll see the Lord within your heart, but you'll also see the Lord. Everything is within Him. So it's mystical or confusing. So we know these pastimes very well. Brahma put the calves and cowherd boys in the cave, and he came back, and there's the calves and cowherd boys, and they're all forms of the Lord. So that's, you know, the Lord is within the hearts of the calves and the cowherd boys, but the calves and the cowherd boys are part of the Lord's creation, which is His energy. They're within Him. He's within them, and they're within Him. Or Mother Yasoda, looking inside Krishna's mouth, and everything is within Him. But He's within one of those universes that's within His mouth by His expansions. And then it seems that the other reference here is when Brahma went to Dwarka to pay his respects to Krishna. And when he went to the to see Krishna, the attendant said, just wait, I'll let Krishna know that you've come. And the messenger came back saying, Krishna wants to know which Brahma has come. Which Brahma? There's more than one Brahma. Well, tell him it's the four-headed Lord Brahma, the Brahma of this universe. I've come. So he went, and oh, four-headed Brahma, ask him to come in. And when he came in, there were all the other Brahmas from all the other universes who were also had been summoned by Krishna to come. Some had so many heads and so many more heads and so many more heads. And Brahma could see them all, but they couldn't see but themselves and Krishna. Everything is within Krishna. His potencies are inconceivable. And the service that Brahma was doing far outshines any service that we may be called upon to do, but the principle that applies for both of us is we're utilizing or we're borrowing some portion of the potencies of Krishna. And that's the important thing to remember. And when we're always serving, when we're doing our service, it's Krishna's energies that are, you know, not only the external, but, you know, the internal. The mind, intelligence, and capacity, and ability, and whatever it is, the subtle things, as well as the gross things, they're just Krishna's energies. And we're a spirit soul who's desiring to serve Krishna. So he gives us these various resources, and we're just, according to the ability, intelligence that he gives us, we put them together in service to him. That's the core. That's at the heart of the devotee's heart, their devotion and service to Krishna. That enables one, entitles one to understand what's going on. And otherwise, one doesn't understand what's going on. One is in illusion, thinking this is mine, and I'm going to make the other thing mine, and I'm going to enjoy it. So Krishna disappears, reality disappears, and illusion appears. And with illusion comes suffering. And we don't like to suffer, but we don't like to surrender either. So, gradual process. But it's nicely, very nicely described here. So, I'm going to end with that, see if there's some discussion. Lord Brahma's prayers for creative energy. Yes.
I have a question regarding perseverance. Like, when we take up a service, it's not necessary that everything is clear to us at the point of when we take a service. And so, to keep moving on the path, and there was a point which you made, like, from our side there need to be a lot of trust. And and then there is also a component of, like, when we do our duties, there is also, like how we were hearing yesterday, there is a material dimension to it. And with that, it brings a kind of fear or a sense of that I need a lot of protection. So I'm just trying to formulate a question around that. And then how to keep moving and how to really be sure that the path that we are following is the right one.
Well, there's broad or general, and then there's specifics or details. Just think of, for example, Srila Prabhupada's coming to America. There was the broad instruction. There was no question about that, that what Bhaktisiddhanta wanted of him. No question about that. And then there was details. Should I turn left or right? Once here, is this the best? So should I, you know, live uptown? Should I live downtown? What should I do? So, in Prabhupada's case, he described it wasn't clear. You know, the indication that Lord Vishnu is promising to Lord Brahma, at least in Prabhupada's case, immediately and at once, it wasn't clear. The general requirement he knew, but, you know, the detail was not clear. But so he persevered with the general, you know, trying this door, trying that door, knocking, meeting, according to the intelligence that Krishna gave him. So we may be in that situation also, which is similar to what Maitreya said about Brahma. According to the capacity of Brahma, he spoke to Lord Vishnu, and he's going to do according to the capacity that's given to him. And that's true for each of us. We have capacity that's different. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami uses this expression that, you know, to describe the glories of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which was the assignment that he was given, there's no limit to it. So how do you describe adequately the glories of Lord Chaitanya? So, but he's, and my capacity is very limited. Then he uses this phrase that each bird can fly only so high in the sky as his wings will carry him. We each have our capacity. And it's limited and it's diverse, person by person. So the detail is important for successful execution of something, but the broader essence is what we must persevere on. Details we may be prepared to adjust according to indication that Krishna gives us. Like, you know, somebody says, can you cook a feast? So there's the general, then there's the detail. And according to your capacity, you may, you know, consult different resources of persons that are better cooks, or they know how to cook in quantity, or something, something. And but there's the general and there's the detailed. We stay steadfast with the general, like, you know, chant your rounds, and, you know, make some. So there's a, you know, you can take different examples, a general direction that we need to move in, and there's details of how to do that. If we have some specific instruction or direction, then we can simply execute that. And as Prabhupada described, for that whole first year that nothing happened, he didn't feel discouraged, he didn't feel defeated, he didn't feel unsuccessful, because he was carrying out the instruction to his capacity. Amongst the obstacles, the greatest obstacle, that, like, we're moving in the path of our service, and, you will, this question of perseverance arises, the greatest obstacle is not out there, it's inside, our lack of determination or conviction or faithfulness in carrying out what we're asked to carry out. So stay perseverant on the essence and be flexible in the detail, as the indication from Krishna provides. Anything else? Yes.
I had actually two questions, but I'll ask the first one. When the Supreme Lord or Spiritual Master, when he entasts something upon any being or his disciple, does he also empower the being or his disciple, though the instruction might seem, I mean, disciple, like in case of Brahma, how he was overwhelmed. So if a disciple is overwhelmed at first, so is he instructing as per his or her current situation, or he just instructs and also empowers as well, both at the same time?
Well, they're not contradictory. One situation, let's take, you know, Krishna is saying control the mind. One situation may be, you know, I don't have control of my mind. Another is, you know, I have more control of my mind, but not adequate. Another is, I have, I'm very close to have control. So our capacity may be different, doesn't mean the instruction necessarily needs to change. Because that's the task, control the mind. And one's current situation may be whatever it may be. There's empowerment, whatever it may be, within the instruction. Now, we'll go away from the exact question you're asking, but different instructions may be given according to recognition of capacity. There's some universal instructions. They're universal. But according to one's nature or according to one's capacity, instructions may be different. A classic example of that is in Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Lord Chaitanya instructed at the same time three different members of the same family to do three different things. One was stay in Puri and serve the devotees. Another was go back and earn material and spiritual wealth. Another was engage in deity worship according to nature. Or, in the beginning, Srila Prabhupada didn't give regular principles. And then during that period of time, when people had trouble with some bad habits, his instruction was, like one classic that I remember very well, was people had cigarette smoking problem. So his recommendation was, smoke one in the morning and one in the evening. Okay, smoke one in the morning. So it's not a universal instruction, it's a person-specific instruction according to their ability. So there's diverse circumstances where instructions are given and to what end. But are they to be, you know, are they time, place, and circumstance instructions, or are they universal instructions, and so on? But empowerment is there within instruction, regardless of one's ability or capacity. Your second question?
From what I understand, when the Mother Earth was burdened by sins and so Brahma headed the team of demigods to Vishnu and asked to relieve Earth from the burden of sins. So from what I know, that he that time itself said that I'll appear as Krishna and all demigods should appear as cowherd boys. And so why is it so that Brahma wanted to witness power of Krishna by abducting the cowherd boys?
Two things. The demigods were instructed to appear in the members, in the family of the Yadu and Andaka and Bhoja dynasty. They were more elders, they weren't the cowherd boys. Appear on earth first. So they were elder to Krishna. They weren't the same age as Krishna. They had different services in Krishna's pastimes. But still, the cowherd boys largely are Nitya Siddha, eternal associates of Krishna in his Leela. So why would Brahma want to? So it was explained that in the previous Leela that took place, the Agasura demon was killed and Brahma witnessed it. And he was amazed at Krishna's mystic power. So his curiosity was, what's the limit? He wanted to examine the limit. So Krishna showed him. And the way that he went about examining the limit wasn't very good, but he was a mistake. It was an offense. it's not a normal thing. It's a mistake. No, he was thinking, I have so much mystic power. Watch this one. And now what's Krishna going to do? He was covered or influenced in not the best way. But Krishna corrected that problem. Sador eva samantavya. We shouldn't look at that situation and say, oh, something's wrong with Brahma. We should look at that situation as Krishna looks at that situation. Sador eva samantavya. He was like Arjuna, becoming for a moment bewildered so that Krishna could instruct Bhagavad Gita, or so Krishna could show us clearly the position of his supremacy in case there was some doubt. No doubt after that pastime. Yes?
This is a question regarding, I came across some person asking me about what happened in the initial time of amendment about some things, and regarding child abuse and things. And the question was that often someone who is chanting in touch with such a fear of process can do such a thing. And my question is that, how to respond to
these questions,
and also how to
respond to the question, and the last part was?
How, for us, like,
to understand it? Well, I would say they don't need to be separate. It's that how we understand it is how we explain it. The potency for cleansing one from all misgivings and impurities and so forth is there in the process. And while some the potency is there, one may be more receptive, less receptive to that. So one can be engaged. The way the Prabhupada said it is, we should be more surprised that someone doesn't fall down and make mistake than if someone falls down and makes a mistake. Because the contamination is so strong and our determination is so weak. Although the process doesn't make a statement about the process. The process has full effectiveness if we apply it properly. And someone may for some time apply it properly and then sometime become proud and then not apply it properly and fall. That's not surprising, that's like standard. And surprising is someone, you know, the opportunity is there to continue that way, but you know, we're manda sumanda matayo, manda bhagya hyupadrita. Once Prabhupada was in Hawaii, he was lamenting that I have to accept so much trouble from my disciples. He said, but what am I to do? I'm a follower of Lord Nityananda. I've accepted so many unqualified people. They're Kali Yuga victims, and he's trying to clean them up. And he gives them the means to clean themselves, and they do it for a bit and then neglect it. Not a surprise at all.
Like when you're going through a test, like what you said, Krishna wants to examine us. that the obstacle within might seem big, how to practically access the mercy and, you know, look at the sunshine. Like, you know, the mercy is always there, the sun is shining. So when you're practically in the situation, my question is, then you see, I'm trying to connect two things, like what you said to me yesterday, like carrying the rocks on the back. So, you know, just how to practically shut them off and access the mercy.
Sounds like one question, not many. just decide to do it. That's what it takes. There's a conditioned pattern. The conditioned pattern says, what will I do without my rocks? You probably have the experience as well as myself. We all probably have. That some persons are addicted to having a problem. Even when they get all the problems solved, they find one or create one. So they can be in distress about a problem. Or the example that Prabhupada gives of showing compassion to a worm in stool. You take the worm in stool out of the stool, and he just wiggles his way back into the stool, because that's like, cool, that's my place. We're attached. So it's a matter, it's to the rocks, and it's a matter of deciding, I don't really need this burden. It's the burden of Maya, the burden of illusion. I don't need it. It's foreign to me. It's unhealthy. It's unwholesome. It's unnatural. I want to be free. And that's an essence of what Krishna consciousness is. It requires making a distinction between the real self and this imagined self. And the imagined self creates so many things. And that's our, you know, if I lose that, I lose my identity. That's who I am. I'm the rock carrier. It's illusion. So there, something that will help is we have some picture. Hopefully an increasingly clearer and clearer picture of what reality is, so I can take shelter of reality. I mean, my thoughts are going to that japa meditation. The lady, Brijbasi lady, carrying her load, and an early morning scene, she's wearing a sweater and a row of trees, and you know, the sunlight is on the other side of the trees. It's very nice. The photograph is very nice. And then, O Holy Names of Krishna, may I become free from this burden of Maya and dedicate myself to taking shelter of your mercy instead. So let go of this and take shelter of that. That's in essence. I just heard Prabhupada say the same thing in a lecture in Mauritius to a big audience of people. That's the essence of Krishna consciousness. But to do that requires strength. So the second is a prayer to this weak soul. Maybe kindly give spiritual strength to this weak soul so I can serve you in that way. That's how you do it. Drop the rocks and take freedom.
Manish, his purport talks about giving credit back, credit to the Supreme.
Here comes the microphone.
giving credit to the Supreme Lord.
I want to know, like, how to practically, in a practical sense, for me at my level, what
from your heart.
Here's your nice son by your side. Well, sometimes he's nice. Most of the time. And so there's some service. Now, you know, in your dealings with your son, and, you know, he's like making wonderful artwork here, and, you know, like you're... So consciously give the credit to Krishna. Krishna's very kind. He's given me this nice spirit soul to help in his journey back to Krishna. Krishna's very kind. He's given my son this nice ability to look at this fantastic drawing he's making. He's got, you know, Krishna's endowed us with some opportunity and service, and just practice that. Just, you know, as we're doing this whole section of the Bhagavatam, is read the Bhagavatam, be clear what's going on, and enter into the spirit of that by practical application and prayer, and being consistent, being perseverant. The realizations will come, just like that.
And Maharaj, like, just follow up on that. Like, how do we measure that? Like, how do I know, like, I'm doing it? Is there a way?
Well, here's two measures. One is that your enthusiasm for devotional service is steadily increasing, and that your attraction for material pleasures and enjoyments is decreasing. Bhakti parishanu bhava viraktir anyatra cha, in Sanskrit. She wants the microphone in the back there.
Hare Krishna. For the last 2 weeks, we've been discussing, giving us how Lord Brahma was praying all the time to the Lord, and all the qualities. Every step he was doing, he was constantly praying to the Lord for his mercy in his service. And contradictory, we see in Krishna's pastime how Brahma has been. So, looking at the whole pastime, I see both situations contradicting each other. So, having that, is it okay to have that fear or I don't know what that, how to say it, but that fear that, oh, if it could happen to Brahma, how much more careful I have to be for...
Not exactly. I mean, you can do that if you want, but your characterization is not how I would characterize. Here's the characterization. Bhajate mama nanyabhak. That's the characterization. That's the... Apichat sudaracharo bhajate mama nanyabhak. What's the consistent quality that we see in Lord Brahma? Bhajate mam ananyabhak. So now, in the midst of this bhajate mam ananyabhak, comes this sudurachar. Krishna corrects it. Chipram bhavati dharmatma. Quickly, Krishna, personally. Not like remotely. Personally. Because it's very personal. Devotional service and the relationship between Krishna and his devotees. Krishna personally corrected that out of the ordinary, exceptional event. So, where our thoughts should primarily go is not, it can go as you describe, but you can, it's not, that's a humble way, but it can easily flip into, you know, discouragement. Oh, if that can happen to Brahma, then what's the might and all that kind of thing. But the formula is follow Brahma. And bhajate mam ananyabhak. Ananya, undivided devotional service. Strive and protection will follow. Even if I'm weak, even if I slip, even if apichet, most unlikely thing to happen happens, Krishna will intervene. Krishna will protect me. So it's confidence, not trepidation. Confidence in Krishna, not confidence in myself. Confidence in Krishna, His merciful nature. Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, I have a question. In the university lecture, you said if we
want to have a compassion, then we do the sattvic action, and then we get compassion.
And that's not exactly what I said.
Oh, okay, then I understood wrong.
What I said was, if the mode of goodness or sattvic disposition is there, if you frame your life in the quality of goodness, then from that quality of goodness, from that swabhava, the behavior of compassion will come out. From the quality comes the behavior. And the quality of compassion is part of the quality of goodness. Is that correct?
Okay. Yeah, I wanted to understand more the way, how the three modes of nature works, and also when people come to temple, why not everybody is able to, because that's a mode of goodness, why not everybody is able to feel happy and nice?
Well, some people don't come in the mode of goodness. Some people come in distress. People come in all kinds of different modes. There's something there that says there's faith in God, but there's all kinds of modes of nature that people walk through the door with.
Okay, so it's because of their mode of nature, that's why they're not able to...
Different receptivity, different experience. Okay. Different mode of nature, different receptivity, different experience. And it's, in addition to modes of nature, it's also attachments, karma. The other forces that are acting upon them. Nanda?
Maharaj, you were mentioning about one kind of exchange where Krishna gives an obstacle to a devotee or gives some sense gratification to devotee, and devotee chooses Krishna. And then you said how Krishna responds. But then, how does Krishna respond when devotee chooses sense gratification and obstacles?
Okay. Here's your sense gratification. Are you happy? And he's sending his representatives and his scriptures and different messengers and messages saying, please let go. But, Yayatam mam prapajyante, tang sadaiva pajamyam. That's how Krishna, from his side, sees. He sanctions and he's also canvassing. Both. Come to the right position. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.